Blog Talk Radio.
On the ocean and upon our sea, fish full of mercury. Oh, oh, mercy, mercy me. Our things ain't what they used to be. No, no. Radiation underground and in the sky. Animals and birds who live nearby our sight. All things and what they used to be. What about this overcrowded land? How much more we use from men? Can't you stand?
Welcome to the Panther Party Radio Network. This is the Big Picture with Melvin Seary Jr. once again coming at you. I want to start off by thanking everybody for listening online, thanking everybody that will call in to listen, and also want to thank everybody just who contributes to the show, listens overseas. Also want to thank my Boston Mass family, Patrick Wilson for bringing me on. And once again, getting ready to get off into one. If you are listening online and you would like to call in and be part of the tonight's discussion, call in numbers 914-205-5538. Again, 914-205-5538. And I see my sister is on. I'm gonna open up her mic. I'm gonna open up with a little quick dialogue, and then I'm gonna let her have the floor. Tonight, I want to talk about. Start off talking about the latest news on Jaheim McMillan, the young man who was gunned down by them punk-ass cop in Gulfport, Mississippi on October the 6th. And it's been so much bullshit that I've been really trying to keep up with this one. And also, time permitting, I want to try to get off into a subject that I've been wanting to talk about the last couple of weeks, but also, with what happened in Gulfport, I just kind of pushed that to the back burner. But I want to try to touch on the negative effects of social media and the negative effects that it's had on society as we once knew it. So time permitting, we'll get off into that discussion. But like I said, I want to just say a few words, and then I'm going to let my sister Kia have the floor, because this one really hits home with me, and then it really pisses me off because, you know, I just watched here in Texas about 3 weeks ago, they let the punk-ass cop off that killed my cousin in Wolf City. You know, that happened back in October of 20... It was around October, of 2020, when Sean Lucas, the punk-ass cop that shot my cousin down, and I finally got to see the body cam footage, and that was a straight murder. And then they get a fixed-ass all-white jury in 2022 to let that punk-ass cop get a not guilty verdict. So he gets away with murder. And then that burns my ass because you got one of the prominent attorneys in the nation. And I'm going to say something about these fucking profit on black deaf ass attorneys that we have, because all the fucking cases that they have been over, been in charge of, the majority of them don't get nothing but money, you know, and to me that's bothersome because we keep getting killed out here. And then you have these two, I'm not going to call no names, but you got these two bullhead lawyers that always can manage to pop up when somebody's suffering. And then they not after fucking justice. That's what bothers me the most about these goddamn attorneys. They not after justice. And the shit that they're doing ain't changing nothing. Family's getting a piece of money because that's all these fucking attorneys seem to be after, is a little bit of money. And then that's hush money. Black people, stop taking that goddamn money. That's hush money. Well, you can't even talk about your loved one no more. You can't even mention your loved one anymore after you take this money. But that's good for these goddamn attorneys and they law firms, because that's all they in it for is the money. They not in it for the justice. If they was in it for the justice, they'd have a set price. But no, they in it for the millions. And then they got these families settling for money as opposed to justice. And I hope that doesn't happen in Gulfport, because I see they got one of them bullhead attorneys down there on the case. And I don't care. Being crump is every fucking where. That some bitch pop up every damn where, and he ain't won not one. I can't recall a case. You know, George Floyd may be the only case that has actually resulted in one of them getting a actual sentence as opposed to the money. And that's my rant on that. But this family needs justice, like all the families need justice. Fuck the money. That's hush money. Because you can't even mention your loved one no more. That's what people don't know. You see, they don't talk about Trayvon anymore. You see all these murders that's happened where people have gotten money. You don't hear from them anymore. It's because there's always that clause in that money that when you take that money, you can't talk about your loved one no more. You can't mention the case no more nationally, in public. See, and that's bullshit. So I'm just hoping that this case for Jaheim McMillan turns out different. I hope that Ben Crump is more interested in the justice as opposed to the goddamn money. And with that being said, I'm going to let my sister take the floor and bring the latest news since she is there. And I'm going to stop my rant right there and let her have the floor. Or I'll keep it going. She may be tied up right now, so I'll keep going. Far as what I have heard and what I do know, like I say, I did read the other day that Ben Crump is, you know, the attorney over this case, which, like I say, it bothers me because they don't really seem to be after justice. Oh, okay, my sister, she's just now joining. She's just now joining me. Okay, so I'm going to, now that I've finished my rant, yeah, I'm going to let her, if she's ready, I'm going to let her have the floor to bring an update on the Jaheim McMillan case. And sister, if you are ready, your mic is open and you can jump in when you are ready. And like I was saying, though, yeah, I just hope that Ben Carson is more interested in the justice as opposed to being interested in just money aspect of this case, because I'm just to a point where I'm sick of America. I'm just tired of watching the same old thing every week, every other week. You know, we're seeing these cases where our young men are being gunned down, just in general, where we're being mistreated by these punk ass cops, you know, and that's something that truly needs to stop. And that's why I say we cannot depend on, see, because Ben Crump, one of them fucking celebrity attorneys, you know, all of them, instead of being focused, all of them want to be Hollywood. All of them want to be seen. You know, all of them want to be in front of the cameras. You know, and even Ben Crump done been all in movies and shit. So, I mean, you know, what are you really in this for? Are you in it for fame? Are you in this to do the right thing for our people? Or are you just after clout, fame? See, and that seems to be a problem with us. And like I say, I hope he's going to fight for justice. There's been so many witnesses I've saw since the initial shooting on October 6th. I have saw maybe 3 or 4 different videos, because the narrative that these punk-ass cops are trying to spin is that this young man had a gun. And I know I saw one video where there was a white woman even that hung around after the fact and spoke with, I guess these were family members, maybe, I don't know. But she was speaking with some people, and she said, I saw the whole thing. And she said he came, he went in the store, and then said he came right back out of the store with his hands on the back of his head. And several witnesses stated the same thing, said that he came out. They said the police hadn't even said, put your hands up, put your hands on your head, none of that. He came out in compliance. And that's why I asked the question last week, should we teach our children compliance? Because even when we do comply, we still, man, woman, or child, are gunned down by these goddamn punk-ass cops. You know, these fear-for-your-life-ass cops. So I'm to a point where, like I say, we don't need no goddamn celebrities. We need each other. Yeah, because I didn't say it. I ain't said it yet. So, yeah, we need each other out here. This is a prime example of why we need each other. Because, see, we need to be fighting for this young man to get justice, for his family to get justice. And if we were positioning ourselves in the correct way and unifying ourselves in a correct way, we could make up enough goddamn noise ourselves where we wouldn't need no more Hollywood being crumps that ain't getting us no justice, just getting us a piece of they dirty-ass money. And like I said earlier, fuck they money. Money don't fix everything. Money not going to bring this young man back. Money hadn't brought any of them back. And yet and still, we still are suffering the same freaking way. So, I mean, what are they to do? The police are saying one thing, but see, that's why I say if we were together the right way collectively, we could be taking care of this kind of shit our damn selves. And I also read that this punk-ass chief of police down there is talking about not releasing that body cam footage until the end of the year. And, of course, they're investigating themselves. They're investigating themselves. That's just like, you know, I rob a bank and my mom is going to be the judge. Well, of course, my mom's going to have some favoritism. My mom may not do what she is supposed to do because of that favoritism, because of me being her son. But that's what we have to deal with during every one of these situations. Oh, they're going to hold an investigation in internal affairs. The fucking cops, the killers investigating the killers. You know, and that's what it's come to. And that's what we have to continuously deal with, because we're not coming together in a united fashion. We're not coming together collectively. And we need to come together collectively. Period. Point blank. I said this millions of times. As long as we ignore the problem was not at your front doorstep, has a better chance of making it to your damn doorstep. We need to get involved. Some of us sit around hush mouth on situations like this, like we scared to speak up and speak out about it. It ain't no time for fear. Ain't no time for closed mouths. And I want to say this. I've always got something to say about these churches, because where are these churches? Where are the churches in that area? Where are these Christian folk, these God-fearing folk? See, they hiding from the real problem. They focusing on selfish needs as opposed to what we need. And that's why I say we are so divided as a people. We let Baptists, We let Church of God in Christ, we let all of that bullshit, made up fairy tale shit that white folk gave us to control us with a white Jesus, we let that separate us. We conquer and divide so good now that white man don't even have to do it no more. And that's why I say with me, I'm not concerned about what you affiliated with. I'm concerned about where your head at. My head is about black first. That's my movement, black first. It ain't about all that other bullshit that we let divide us. Like that Black Lives Matter fake ass shit that was all about an LGBTQ movement. What have they done? What did they do for black lives? Not a motherfucking thing except come with a slogan. And we good for that. Coming with some good words, you know, but not standing on that shit. And then some of us get just like them because we let that, we sell our integrity for a few funky ass dollars, just like the whole Black Lives Matter movement, fake as hell. Yeah, fake as hell. I don't give a damn about the Black Lives Matter movement because that wasn't about us. That was about them LGBTQ people. See, now you might have had some chapters that were actually trying to do the right thing, but for the most part, most of them leaders was on some more shit, was on some, we going to get this money and get us some more shit. Because what did they do for Black Lives Matter? What did they do? They touted Tamir Rice's name, and they said they used George Floyd's name repetitively. But what have they done for these families? What have they done for these communities? Black Lives Matter ain't do shit neither. Ain't do no more than the KKK has done for our communities. They leached on our sorrow, leached on our pain, much like Ben Crump them do. Leech on, clamp on to every damn sorrowful, tragic situation that happens within our communities, and they after fucking money. Are they truly after justice, or are they after just the money? Because I'm really confused, because it looks to me like they just after the money. Ain't been much justice on their watch. Hadn't been much justice won on their watch. I'm just saying. My aunt is suffering right now again because this lawyer she had, Merritt, did nothing. Now he's after the money in the civil case, but what about the justice in the murder case? And that pisses me off because, see, that to me is reliving the death all over again. And I've said this several times on this platform. I've lost a child, so I can relate. I know what it feels like to lose the person that you thought was going to bury you. I know that pain, and you can't get them back no matter what you do. And that's what pisses me off, because these lawyers feel righteous in what they're doing, and they're not, because like I said, fuck they money, fuck they dirty blood soaked money. It's not bringing nobody back. We need consequences for these punk ass cops, for that punk ass cop. And I really would call his name because I have the information, but I'm not. But that punk-ass cop in Gulfport, yeah, with his little pink family, they happy and at home. He's got children, too. They happy and at home right now. His children, his son is at home with him, safe and alive, breathing, while he is responsible for taking a life. See, and until they understand consequence, they're not going to stop doing what they're doing. And if the Justice Department cannot deliver justice, We need to be the deliverers of justice. Period. How many more times do we have to make up another damn hashtag? How many more times do we have to watch another one of our young men die at the hands of these punk-ass cops, these race soldiers, these slave catchers? Because that's just how they behaving. And I told an ex of mine, I told her that continue to watch how they behave, because they're going to come back into their natural character, and they're doing it every day. These are people that are hired to protect us, but they do nothing but neglect us. And I'm so sick of watching our young men die. Like I said last week, just like with my cousin. See, there won't be a Jonathan Price Jr. or Jonathan Price III. They're killing whole lineages. This is what we got to understand about this bullshit, this genocide that we're facing. They're killing whole lineages. This young man, Jaheim McMillan, didn't even get to be a man. Think about that. He didn't even have a chance to make it to manhood. He didn't have a chance to experience his first drink, his 21st birthday, getting married, having children. His lineage is now gone. Those are generations that we're losing. Not just this one young man. We're losing generations. This is an agenda. When are we going to wake up and fucking realize what this is? See, people are out here still playing. We out here more worried about a goddamn TikTok video or getting Instagram famous. And we dying in real time. We so distracted and easily amused, it bothers me. And we don't mind getting on TikTok and Instagram cooning for the masses, making Mr. Whitey rich, making Mr. TikTok rich, Mr. Instagram getting rich. We sell ourselves so short. We truly sell ourselves short. And this is why we keep suffering. We are not coming together in a fashion to bring about change of the condition. And the condition will never change for the better until we make it change, until we bring about that necessary plan of action. And this is why I always say, let's plan, organize, and unify, because we all have a key. And when I say we all have a key, I mean that we all have a skill that we can contribute to this fight. I'm so goddamn sick of these punk-ass cops getting away with murder, killing whole lineages of us. Like I say, there won't be a Jaheim McMillan Jr. or the III. He won't have the pleasure of marrying. He won't have that excitement of turning 21 and being able to buy his first drink like we all look forward to doing. They are taking so much from us without consequence. We can be that consequence. Simply by uniting, simply by bringing ourselves together collectively, we can stop these types of incidents. See, they have no fear of us because we haven't given them anything to fear. Some of us are still trying to go along, to get along with these murderous motherfuckers. And like I say, continue to watch them, because they're going to continue to turn and come into their natural state of being, their natural character, which is a violent beast. The same label that they gave us is the label they truly own. And they prove it. Not only today, they prove it on a consistent basis. And nobody ever challenges the authority. We have got to stop. Look, it's like this right here with me. And this is just me and how I'm living, because I'm no longer scared of death, and I know that death is a promise. Death is a promise, but I'm goddamn sick and tired of watching us die unnecessarily. Too many of us are not having our natural state of life and our natural deaths coming. We're being murdered at young ages, man, woman, and child. It doesn't matter. This goddamn system don't look at us as people. This system doesn't see our children as children. And just like I was talking about earlier in the case of my cousin in Wolf City, them motherfucking white, a whole white jury, an all-white jury in 2022 in Greenville, Texas, my neck of the woods, East Texas, and there are plenty of Hispanics and blacks that could have been on that damn jury. But they put together a 1950 good old boy jury so they could let that punk-ass Sean Lucas off. Sean Lucas is his name. Sean Lucas needs a consequence. That's all I'm saying. It's time for consequences. And they will never, white America will never change until it feels what we felt. And with that being said, I'm going to take a quick break, a real quick break. And I'm going to come back and get off into this, because I'm getting a little riled up. So I'm going to take me a little break and kind of settle down for a minute. We'll be right back. This is the Panther Party Radio Network, The Big Picture with Melvin Siri Jr. I'll be right back on the other side.
We pattern our lives today after a caveman and after a cave woman that just crawled out of the caves and hills of Europe and walk around today with an attaché case smelling like Pierre Cardin and smelling like Uchi and Coochie and Gucci and all that other stuff. This is a caveman. He spent 2,000 years, she spent 2,000 years in the caves and hills of Europe. I'm still talking about the goddamn white man. Spent 2,000 years in the caves and hills of where? E-U-R-O-P-E. This man, Elijah Muhammad, and this man, Louis Farrakhan, they teach us that EU means caves and hillsides. Europe, Eureka, you've heard the term. EU means caves and hillsides. Rope is self-explanatory. They were roped or bound or confined within the caves and hills of Europe for 2,000 years. And for 2,000 years, this blue-eyed devil crawled around on his all fours. He ate his meat raw. They ate each other even. They ate dogs. They ate anything. They take tree limbs and bust an animal in the head or drop a rock or a boulder on the animal and bust the animal in the head. Blood everywhere, all in the mangy, diseased fur of the animal. Drag the animal back to the cave. And the little baby devils and the medium-sized devils and the mama devil and the daddy devil and the uncle devil and the auntie devil and the cousin devil and the grandma devil and the grandpa devil, all of them within start biting on the nasty hair and fur of this dead, bloody animal lying right there in the cave. They didn't know anything about fire. Yeah, when they first discovered fire, they damn near ran off the cliff. Gee whiz, gee manini, what is that? Really, they couldn't make any, they couldn't even talk in those days. How many of you saw the movie Quest for Fire? Hold your black hands up. If you saw Quest for Fire, in Quest for Fire, you saw, but they tell you, you were a savage. They want you to believe that you were a savage. They walked around all in ooga booga. They're the ones that put the lie on us, but they were the ones ooga. Einstein language and all kind of stuff. You can always talk. There's never been a time when you couldn't talk, black man. And we know it ain't never been a time when you couldn't talk, black woman.
Sister got something to say. Because she's the first teacher. The children, the babies, they learn the language from her. They don't call it the father tongue. They call it the what? Why they call it the mother tongue instead of the other tongue? They call it the mother tongue because it is mother who fills them with the spirit of life. It is mother who inspires them, giving them inspiration and information that moves them along the course of life. And so they call it the mother tongue, because the goddess is the one who breathes that life into them. Y'all still with me? We still talking about the goddamn white man.
All right, welcome back to the Panther Party Radio Network. This is the Big Picture with Melvin Seary Jr. I'm going to play a quick clip from a video that was taken by a bystander there at the scene that day. And I just want y'all to listen to this clip.
Man, look at the little man up there on the ground, man. By the door, man. The police over there on stop the motherfucking child, man. Child had nothing in his hand, man. What type of shit it did, man? What type of shit it did, man?
Nothing, bro.
Man, Leon shot the man in the head, man.
Shot him in the head, bro. I'm sitting there watching.
The kid didn't have nothing in his head, man. This what the fuck these police out here doing, man. Y'all had letting these kids run these streets, and this what the fuck going on, man. These kids, these motherfucking police doing this shit, man.
That's so sad, man. Then they gonna handcuff him, bro.
Then still got a handcuff right here. Got the man handcuffed right now, man. Man, what type of shit it is, bro?
Hey, ma'am.
Ma'am. Come on. He coming.
I ain't gonna get shot.
He ran there with his shoulder hands up like this. People state that he had his hands up. And even the lady that walked over there said, yeah, he had his hands up. And this is standard procedure with these cops, because not only did they shoot this young man and kill him, but this is something that really bothers me too. I don't see the purpose in shooting someone in the head and then still handcuffing them. Nobody was trying to give him assistance. Nobody was trying to stop the bleeding. Much like my cousin, same thing when that punk ass cop shot him 4 times in the chest. Handcuffed him and watched him bleed the fuck out. And for my cousin, he was still conscious until he lost his life. He was handcuffed and laid there to bleed out. This officer rendered no aid, just like these punk coward-ass cops in Gulfport shooting this young man in the head. And they have the audacity and the gall to handcuff them, but will not render aid. And see what they also, I want to throw this in here too, because another part of this narrative that these punk-ass cops are trying to spin is that, and you heard it in the video, you heard a couple of people state he had nothing in his hands. He put his hands up. The punk-ass police are trying to say that this young man turned and aimed a gun at them when over, I don't know, I saw videos, like I say, I saw about five people all corroborate the same story. They all said the same thing. And it wasn't what them punk-ass cops are singing. But yeah, the narrative that these cops are trying to spin, and this is just from the little research that I was doing earlier today. Yeah, they're trying to say that he had a gun. Said that he turned around. This is the article that I was reading on News One. And the punk-ass chief standing by the lie. How about that? I'm not surprised. But the punk-ass chief is standing by. I mean, this blue line has gotten ridiculous. This blue line is literally killing us. And then they make up the most absurd stories to tell. Like, people don't have common sense, you know? But then, too, like I said in a couple of shows back, until qualified immunity is eradicated, these kind of situations, these cops are going to continue to kill us with impunity, because they know that they, nine times out of ten, will not suffer any consequence for their actions. And that's the sad thing about it. That's truly, you know, what's angering, disappointing. And, you know, that should really ignite us. I'm not understanding the mindset of my brothers and sisters collectively. I think back to our ancestors, and I just can remember having conversations with my grandfather, great grandfather, and times were so much different back then. And they had it hard, much harder, less freedoms than what we have. But the one thing they had that we don't have and that we don't even consider is each other. They had unity, and they worked together. They made sure that everyone was safe. They made sure that everybody within the community was eating. We took better care of one another then. And that's why we're failing now. We have become, some of us have become too much like the enemy. We're not safe. Some of y'all act like we safe over here. I mean, I don't feel safe. I take my gun everywhere I go. And I don't want to be no hashtag. I'm not going to be a hashtag if I can help it. I'm licensed to carry, and everywhere I go, I mean, I got two guns in my truck. Because you don't ever know when you're going to run into one of these killers. And I'm not just talking about cops at this point. And see, the funny thing to me is I'm gonna make a quick comparison. Just this weekend in North Carolina, there was a 15-year-old white boy shooting people. And he's not dead. I can't believe they shot him. When I was watching the news and they said he was in critical condition, I just automatically thought it was one of us, because he was in critical condition. But had it been one of us, it'd have been murder. They wouldn't have missed. Just like with Jaheim McMillan. They'd have made that headshot. See, and this is what bothers me. Now, just like what Dylan Roof, you know, walks in a church and plays like he's emotionally attached to these people, and he pulls out a gun and starts shooting them. And then they buy that motherfucker some Burger King. So I knew Saturday, yeah, when they said he was in critical condition, like I say, that certain things register with me. And that, to me, was just signal that, oh, he must have been, you know, a little had that protection, that complexion for the protection. And last I checked, he was still alive, doing, you know, stable. So he's going to have his day in court. Now, mind you, this motherfucker, 15, and he's brandishing a weapon. He is actively shooting people, but he ain't dead. Y'all think about that. Think about that in the light of what we saw on October the 6th. And then 9 days later, on October 15th, they can take a white boy down without killing him. That happens all the time. You know, they see their nephews and their sons and all that. And when, you know, just like in the case in Greenville, where they let that punk ass killer of my cousin go. And the judge and that jury, they see their nephew, they see their son, or their cousin, or their grandson. When they look up on that stand and see that punk-ass killer, they don't see that. They don't see what we see. They see one of their own, and they treat him as such. They cater to him. They give him free. After murdering, just senselessly taking the life of one of ours. When are we going to give them consequence? When are we going to unite ourselves? Simple unity will clear up a whole so much of this bullshit that we suffer from. Simple unity. But they know that we're not going to unite and fight. We're not ready. We're not organized. We don't have a plan of action. We're not even trying to come up with a plan of action. Some of us are too busy trying to make YouTube videos and TikTok. Like I said earlier, we so caught up and distracted and easily amused by dumb shit, by fuckery. And in the meanwhile, we still losing lives out here. Life is too short. Life is too precious. And our children are the most valuable things that we have. They're our future. They're the next decision makers. They're the next fighters for us. And I've said this so many times, it's time for us to unlearn and relearn. And it's time for us to redirect our children's energy. We got soldiers and warriors out there. It's time for us to teach them that they have something worth fighting for, and it's not these damn corners. They got a future to fight for. And if they don't want to see their kids going through what they're going through, they'll fight. They'll at least unite and stand up and speak out for what's right. And that's what enough of us don't do. So many of us just sit back as if Nothing's happening. Like I say, how can we be so comfortable in the midst of all this mayhem and tragedy? I just don't sleep good at night anymore. And like I say, I'm 53 years old and I'm fearful for my life because I know at any given moment I might get pulled over. I might get singled out as the one who matched the description. That, you know, that bullshit that they always say. You fit the description. Yeah, you had on. They look at what you got on and they, oh, yeah, he had on. Yeah, that. Blue jeans, black shirt, whatever you got on is, yeah, what that suspect description was. It's always so convenient that you match the description. So many times I have saw videos where, oh, yeah, you fit the description of the suspect that was just radioed in. That's that bullshit so they can fuck with us. And see, if enough of us were standing up against that shit, they would stop fucking with us. But they gonna keep fucking with us because we don't fuck with them back. And it's time that we fuck with them back. And I'm not advocating violence, but I am advocating self-defense. You don't have to keep taking ass whoopings. Shit, your grandma taught you that. Your mom taught you that. Don't start no shit, but don't take none either. And we take a whole lot of shit from YT, from this racist system. We take too much shit. Too much. Y'all have to forgive my French, but this just has me in a rage tonight. I'm just beside myself. Because I'm really not understanding the concept of how we're living. I'm not understanding the concept of how we're trying to live. Because it's like we're okay with all this, and I'm not all right with this. And it's time like these that I really worry about our kids. I've got a 14-year-old son out here in Tulsa, of all places. And I worry about him because he could fit the damn description. I worry about him because he could just be minding his own damn business and become victim. I mean, our young men are not safe, period. And I'm talking about from 8 to 80. Our men are not safe. Our men are targeted. Our men are hunted. Our young men are hunted, targeted. And I'm not saying that it doesn't happen to women because, yeah, we all know these jackasses don't respect our women like they should be respected, but want somebody to respect that devil in a blue dress, that troublemaker, while they disrespect our women. And that's something that should not be happening. That's something we definitely should not stand for. The givers of life, the nurturers, the teachers, the black woman deserves our protection. The black child deserves our protection because they both deserve a chance. And especially our children. They deserve a chance at life. Far too many of our children are not getting to experience life past their teenage years. And we have got to also get our youth off of that gang shit. And that's all about this systematic music that they pump into our children's heads. And that's why I say it's time for us to redirect the minds of our children and get them off the bullshit they're on and get them back on something that will be beneficial. I know a lot of you will say, oh, these kids, they're just these days hard-headed. Well, look, every generation of children are hard-headed to an extent. No child is exempt from that. Stop acting like we were always adults. We were also children who did dumb shit just like they doing. It's just a different time. And it may be a different severity, but it's all the same. And see, just like when we were children, we had adults that watched us. We had adults that would come to us when we were fucking up. They didn't just sit by and watch us fuck up and talk about us. No, they would approach you and correct your ass. And see, that's what needs to happen. There needs to be a correction of our children. No matter how bad you think they are or none of that. Because, hell, at one point in time, we didn't listen either. At one point in time, we thought we knew it all, too. And now, you know, with years, we know that we didn't know shit then. And some of us grow up through the years and still don't learn shit. See, the grandmother has gotten younger. The grandfather has gotten younger. Everybody in our generations have gotten younger, and some, the problem is some of us are still trying to live out our youthful days. I hate to see somebody 50 damn years old out there still trying to kick it with the 35-year-old group. You ain't got no place there. And that's what's happening with our society. We trying to make, like what is it? Trying to make 60 the new 50 and 50 the new 40 and 40 the new 30. No, 50 the same damn 50 that it's always been. Set your 50-year-old ass down somewhere and act like you 50. Act like you've been here 50 years. And then maybe when these children see us acting as we should, they'll act like they should. They'll change. See, if we get them to changing, then these punk-ass cops won't have no reason to fuck with them. And we got to keep that in mind. Because, see, an ass-whooping don't hurt but why you getting it. But discipline will correct your mind for the long term. We were talking about this the other day. I just had my birthday Sunday. I just turned 53. So I'm thankful. Because I know so many of my friends that didn't make it to see 40. And some of my friends didn't even make it to see 30. So I'm thankful. But see, in that 53 years, I have to have gained something to give back. And see, that's what we got to start doing at this age, is giving the fuck back. Because think about it, when you were young, you always had an adult that was giving you something, giving you advice, knowledge. We thought they was fussing and bitching. No, that was knowledge. That wasn't them trying to tell you what to do. No, that was them giving you some wisdom, giving you something to help you see 53. And that's what we got to start doing, giving our children the medicine and the word and the wisdom and the knowledge to see years. Shit, you ain't lived no life at 15. At 12, I think about Tamir Rice, 12 years old, outside, playing with his toy gun, having fun like I used to do, running around, pow, pow, boom, boom. And the punk-ass, scary-ass, punk-ass police roll up and shoot him while they're in the damn car. That still runs my ass hot, too. And me and his mother and them took that hush money And then this punk-ass cop to kill him was trying to get a job at another post, had gotten hired at a police department, matter of fact. A little podunk-ass town that had like 700-and-something population. But people got wind of it and found out they hired him there and started raising hell. And enough of us raised hell to where that little podunk town fired his ass, which they never should have hired him anyway. Because you can't tell me they didn't know who he was and what he had done. But see, that's what they'll do. They embrace their killers. They memorialize their killers. This is a group of people who, like Sister Kia said last week, know money and goddamn violence, and that's all they know. And see, that's why I say we got to talk their language. We got to be the provider of justice and consequence. Well, that's what we'll have to do because they don't understand but a few things. You got to remember who we messing with. This is the most recessive people on this planet. And this racist mindset that they have, and that's all these police are, racist with badges and guns, Klan members with badges and guns, who this system backs, who Ain't Shit Joe said he is not going to defund the police. Ain't Shit Joe ain't done shit for us. Am I right? And y'all busted y'all ass going out to vote for him and Miss Chucks and Pearls in hiding Harris, because that motherfucker ain't been seen. You don't even see her no more. They got her tucked away in that box, in that nigga box. Yeah, they don't need her until they need us. When they need us, they'll send her back out to the forefront. We got to start recognizing game and realizing how the hell they playing us. Because she claimed her Pacific Island heritage more than she claimed any damn thing else. And everybody be busting their ass to go out and vote for this just because that. Wait, I say this right here. I wasn't no Donald Trump fan. I ain't vote for damn one of them. I'm not voting for no evil motherfuckers. But how quickly we have forgot. If it wasn't for Ain't Shit Joe, the three strikes law would never have been in existence. That 1994 crime bill that he introduced into legislation. How quickly we forget. In Hyde and Harris, Miss Chucks and Pearls, this heifer put more Negroes in jail than a little bit when she was out there in California as the Attorney General. Her own state didn't even support her when they ran for vice president. I heard several people that looked like me say they weren't voting for her, they weren't supporting her. But the masses did. Well, the masses minus the M. Because to me, y'all's just some jackasses falling for the okey-doke. And I'm sorry if I'm stepping on any toes or hurting any feelings, but the truth's supposed to hurt you just a little bit to make you think about what you did wrong, just like an ass-whooping. Yeah, that's what the truth does to some people. That's what the truth's supposed to do, make you sit and think about what you've done and why you did it. But see, sometimes the truth don't hurt some people enough to change what they doing. That's when the discipline comes in. Because see, I was a hard-headed little boy. And it took discipline for me. Yeah, if I hadn't had discipline in my life, I'd probably be in jail right now. I was hard-headed. Ooh. But that's another story. But see, I'm saying that to say this. The police need some discipline. These police need a good ass whooping. These police need to know that you can't just do what you want to do if it ain't the right thing to do without consequence. And with that being said, I went another 30 minutes. I'm going to take another break, and I may I'm going to take another quick break, and then I'm going to come back again. And if you are listening online and you would like to call in number 914-205-5538. If you are listening online and would like to speak, please press the 1, and I'll open up your mic. This is the Big Picture with Melvin Seary, and I'll be back after this quick 2.5 minute break.
In order for you and me to devise some kind of method or strategy to offset some of the events or repetition of the events that have taken place here in Los Angeles recently, we have to go to the root. We have to go to the cause. Dealing with the condition itself is not enough. And it is because of our effort toward getting straight to the root that people oftentimes think we are dealing in hate. We are oppressed. We are exploited. We are downtrodden. We are denied not only civil rights, but even human rights. So the only way we're going to get some of this oppression and exploitation away from us or aside from us is come together against a common enemy. Who taught you to hate the texture of your hair? Who taught you to hate the color of your skin to such extent that you bleach to get like the white man? Who taught you to hate the shape of your nose and the shape of your lips? Who taught you to hate yourself from the top of your head to the soles of your feet? Who taught you to hate your own kind? Who taught you to hate the race that you belong to? So much so that you don't want to be around each other. No, before you come asking Mr. Muhammad, does he teach hate, you should ask yourself, who taught you to hate being what God gave you? And I, for one, as a Muslim, believe that the white man is intelligent enough. If he were made to realize how black people really feel and how fed up we are without that old compromising sweet talk. Stop sweet talking it. Tell him how you feel. Tell him how, what kind of hell you've been catching, and let him know that if he's not ready to clean his house up, if he's not ready to clean his house up, he shouldn't have a house. It should catch on fire and burn down.
All right, welcome back to the Big Picture with Melvin Seary Jr., y'all. I was just doing some reading during that particular article, and you know, this punk-ass chief down there, Adam Cooper is his name. Adam Cooper. Y'all remember these names. Write them down. Look these punk motherfuckers up so you'll know who they are if you ever run into them, you know. But they saying that he turned his whole body and a weapon towards the officers. And see, these are the kind of lies, like I was saying earlier, that they concoct to try to clear themselves. And that's why I say they don't have no damn conscience. They don't have no damn remorse about what the fuck they do to us. I mean, you look at the case with George Floyd and Derek Chauvin. Okay, that's one of the cases where, you know, he got some time. But shit, even despite that, they not remorseful about that shit. This some bitch already done filed for an appeal. That's just like that bitch Amber Geiger. Excuse me. But that's just like that Amber Geiger bitch who shot Botham John and wasn't even in jail a good old 6 months. Already filing. I'm so glad they denied her shit. And like they do the crime, guilty of the crime, do the fucking time. They don't give us no breaks. and they don't deserve no breaks. And Derek Chauvin should not even, an appeal should not even be a consideration. Shit, there are some of us who have done less than what these cops have done. They get more time and no appeals. You gonna do your time. So they should be, there should be no difference. No difference in this. I'm just so, I'm skimming through this article and they got 135 names of black men who have been killed by these punk-ass race soldiers, by these killer cops, by these Klan members. Just call it what it is. And then, like I say, I hope that Ben Crump is more worried about justice than he is the money. I'm tired of seeing them two faces, him and Merritt. I'm just tired of seeing them two motherfuckers pop up because they don't ever get no justice. Well, Crump got Derek Chauvin, but okay, that's one in 1,000. And I'm not worried about the past. I'm worried about what he gonna do now. Just like with my aunt. And Merritt didn't get her no justice. But now he gonna go after the money. And he's appealing the case. But what did I mean? Like I say, black people don't get them appeals. Black people don't get, you know, they don't get them kind of opportunities. And then with an all-white jury, what they gonna do? Appeal it so they can get another all-white jury? That's why I say he didn't do his goddamn job, because there's no way in 2022 that if I was a damn lawyer, I'm going to sit by and watch an all-white goddamn jury be assembled for a case that I'm representing. There's no way in hell I'm not going to turn that whole courthouse upside down before they can put together an all-damn white jury. You got to act up. And he done that. That to me was a disservice, because how did he let that happen? Did he not see that happening? Was he just more concerned about the civil case, the money part? That's why I say it should be a flat rate for these goddamn lawyers. It should be a flat rate. They shouldn't be able to get millions. Because that's the only thing that drives them, is the money aspect. What have they changed for the people? What are they doing to turn the tide of justice? Because I'm not seeing it. I'm sorry. I'm just not seeing it. Yeah, it's nice to have black lawyers, but we need black lawyers that's going to fight for us. We need black lawyers that's not just after the money. Of course, it's a job. You want to get paid. But what's happening and the circumstances surrounding are way more important than the money. And death is more important than the money. Murder is more important than the payday. Getting justice for these families is more important. That's what matters. Because like I say, I feel for my aunt, because I mean, that's just like, shit, not guilty. It's like, you know, going through the whole situation again. And here I am, here she is without her son. And there that motherfucker go out the door to go back home to his family after he took my family. So when are we going to get our heads right? When are we going to really get our damn heads right and get justice? Because some things are not going to be given. Some things you have to take. You know, respect is not given, it's earned. And if justice is not going to be given, we're going to have to earn that too. And it's a simple process. It's a simple process. We just refuse to take the steps to go to get started in the direction of true justice. Some of us are too fearful to take the steps to go in the direction of true justice. And I mean a justice that you can not only see, but a justice you can feel. And that's something that collectively we've never experienced. I may not get to experience it in my lifetime, but I would love for one of my children or grandchildren or great-grandchildren to be able to experience that and not have to worry about being murdered. For the simplest, I mean, and like I say, you know, it's Saturday, 15-year-old white boy rolling around, mass shooting people. He's shot, but he's not killed. 9 days earlier, young black man jumps out of the car with the weapons to try to get away, puts his hands up on his head, they shoot him, and then they handcuff him and watch him bleed out. Nobody, and on that clip that I played for you, the guy is shining. He's pointing his camera at the door. This is where the young man is lying, right in front of the door of the Family Dollar where you go in and out. Like I say, they said he came out of the store, back out of the store with his hands up. They shot him. The punk-ass cop shot him. I want to tell y'all this cop name, but I'm going to keep it private until they release it. And then when they release it, yeah, I'm going to shit on his ass, because like I say, his pink ass is at home with his family right now. He's enjoying his son right now while he took this sister's son away from her. It's not fair to me. And being crump, do some justice. Get this family justice, man. Fuck the money. Get this family some justice. Stop worrying about the damn payday. You Hollywood-ass lawyers, you're just not no good for the community. Because you act like them. It's more about the money than anything else. Justice ain't blind. It's just that the motherfuckers that's supposed to be the ones that's supposed to be getting the justice can't see no further than the bank. Open up your mic, brother. Welcome.
Please, brother, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
You all right?
Oh yeah, man. I'm just a little riled up. I'm just a little riled up tonight, but I'm good.
Yeah. I just wanted.
You good tonight, brother? How about yourself?
I kind of wanted to throw something in there that would add a little perspective to why we have guys like Ben Crump and why situations don't really get changed. All Ben Crump and Lee Merritt and all of them guys like that are doing is what Al Sharpton perfected in the 80s. In the 80s, Al Sharpton was the guy that the news wanted out there because he sold newspapers. So when Yusef Hawkins was murdered and his father came back into the life to try to get justice, it was the media that gave him Al Sharpton's number. They didn't want him to speak for his son. They wanted somebody that everybody knew so they could sell newspapers. So that's kind of how that went. Was there justice in that case? No. No, there wasn't. You know, and the thing is that after a while, I figured that wasn't the aim anyway. That was not the aim, was to get justice. The aim was for a payday donations, media coverage, and if it wasn't for this happening, then what would Al Sharpton be doing other than preaching on Sunday at the church? So what I'm seeing, this is why I had said what I said about us, you know, the way we've been going at trying to get the police to police themselves correctly, that ain't work. Justice Department won't really, no teeth in their fangs, you know, none of the shit they say they're going to do, none of that is ending that particular thing. And the only other way I see to save our children and ourselves is for us to make sure that we don't put ourselves in a position to attract the attention. I liken it to being out in the Serengeti in Africa. If you're out there, there's certain animals you don't want them to know that you're there. So you don't do certain shit, you know, that would attract their attention. And most of the cops that are doing what they do, hunting us down like cowards, they animals. So you have to, you know, and we can't get rid of them. We can't get rid of them. That's the problem. So what we need to do is make sure our youngsters, because that's the next generation's got to deal with this bullshit, that our youngsters are as prepared for this shit as possible.
Right on.
Because it's not going to change. I don't see none of it changing. It hasn't changed. You know, bodies are still laying in chalk, swinging from trees. Ain't shit changed. You know, and now there might be some paydays, but even that, you know, and that's buying silence. That's all that is. After the families get the money, you don't hear them out there making noise no more.
Exactly. I'd made that point earlier. Yep.
Yeah, they ain't making noise no more because now they got a comfortable place to grieve now.
Yep, right.
You know,
right.
They got a comfortable place to grieve, but they have already agreed not to say anything in order to be and not have to pay any of that money back. Because if they open their fucking mouth, then basically they agree to give the money back.
Right.
So they're not going to do that. So basically they're selling out their dead relative for that 6.5 mil, that's the average, and moving along. You know, and I hope in 20 years that they don't have a nickel of that fucking money and all they have is the memories.
Yep.
Then that's my wish. I hate that they lost their relative, but if you're willing to sell them out like that, the reason they tell you to be quiet is because if you make too much noise, then the wrong eyes get thrown on them, and they don't need that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, and the city, the same city that's paying you, is just as culpable in their death because, hell, they're the ones covering that cop. He works for them.
Yep. Yep.
So the conflicts of interest are terrible here, but nothing gets done. So, you know, if we don't get our youngsters, you know, I want to know that I'm living in a world where the youngsters around me are smart enough not to even be in a car with a bunch of guns.
Right, right.
From the fucking beginning. You know, that's the kind of world I'm looking for. Because I ain't going to be able to stop them from killing us, but I can't stop us from helping. That I yield.
Right on. I agree with all of that. And I had said that earlier, too, you know. We really have got to, you know, grab the minds of our youth again. It's something that we're not doing right, you know, to grab our youth's attention. And we've got to, you know, like I just said it earlier and I'll say it again, you know, we forget that we were young, dumb, and hard-headed once upon a time, you know, and we got to be receptive to them. And they're the same, well, I won't say they're the same kind of hard-headed, but hard-headed is hard-headed. And what we're failing to do is what our elders did for us. Because, see, I can remember being hard-headed, and I can remember my uncles, older cousins, hell, even just some older men talking to me. You know, we always had an older person that no matter what would, you know, counsel you, so to say, you know, and give you that advice, you know what I mean? And we would do the same thing these young kids do now. Oh, man, you can't tell me what to do, whoop-de-whoop-de-whoop, you know. But in that was nothing but love, you know. And that's what we've got to get back to doing. And it's not the child's responsibility to connect with us. It's our responsibility to connect with them. And we both need each other. They need us, but we need them more than they need us. They still have a lot of life to live. And we're going to need them to be making the right decisions as they progress. You know, we're going to need them to make sound decisions as they progress through life, because the decisions and choices that they make will affect the future generations. So we've got to start giving them back what we were given, you know, which is simple common sense, really. Like Sister Kia said last week, you know, some things just require common sense. And we've got to get back to a common sense mind state, you know, and we've got to really instill that in our children. And I was telling some people the other week, and I think I may have been talking to you, and I said, you know, maybe we should just bypass the children and start drilling it in the grandchildren right now, you know, while they're young. Start giving them the tools and start teaching them the truth of the matter. Stop giving them all the lies that we were given, you know, and allow them to have a life. Because like I said earlier, you know, 15 is not a life. 15, you haven't lived. You ain't even got a chance to, you know, experience nothing yet. You know, and then the thing about most of these children nowadays, and the sad thing, I mean, it's sad and it bothers me to say it, but they're not afforded a childhood. They don't even really get a chance to be children nowadays in this society. Not like in the fashion that we were allowed somewhat of a childhood. Some, even though it may not have been that great of a childhood for some, but we were still given that ability. You know, we weren't dying like they're dying today, at the hands of others and at the hands of their own.
I think we were. I just don't think it got the social media coverage that this gets now.
Definitely that plays a big role too.
Yeah, it's about media on that one, because I don't think black bodies, I don't think there was a time in America where black people were safe ever. I just feel that there was very little said about it. In a lot of cases, they kept out of the media because they felt that those were the cases that would galvanize something. They never know which one, and they've been scared by quite a few. That's why the media was allowed to get ahead of it. That's why all of a sudden, you know, Trayvon Martin's parents are, you know, being seen by celebrities. That's why Yusef Hawkins and them's parents, all of a sudden, people who never gave a fuck if they existed, now all of a sudden can't wait to come and give them their condolences. And I think, what about all the other families who lost somebody this way? And the only difference was the media didn't bother to send out a reporter.
Right.
No reporter wanted to cover the story. The police didn't want it picked up. Yeah, it was on the scanner, but we're going to act like it didn't happen. All of that shit. And that plays the game. I don't think that the numbers are more now. I think it's probably levels out that they have been murdering us at will pretty much from the time we got here to this day. Because that's all I see.
Good point, because, yeah, that's...
Now with social media, you get to know... Think about it. If it wasn't for social media, we wouldn't have knew about what happened there. We knew because of Kia, but, okay, suppose Kia took a left instead of a right that day.
Yep.
We wouldn't know nothing. You know what I'm saying? So it's not like these things get blasted like they need to. And even with people like yourself and others who get out there and put something out on the air, it ain't making no difference. Because the right people who could do something about it, they ain't listening. They ain't listening. And they have no, they don't give a fuck. Joe Biden passed an Asian anti-hate bill. But we still have a lynching bill that can't get through either house.
Right. Right.
So and you know, they was freshly getting their asses whooped. And we've been dealing with it so long that they feel like we just, you know, we're good. Go out there and vote for the next one who ain't going to do a goddamn thing for you. You know,
right.
We live in a world where the motherfucker said straight out, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black.
Yeah, and that took some real nuts. That took some real nuts.
Okay.
But yeah, he sure said that. The
motherfuckers ran out there and voted for him and didn't think twice about it, and they still standing there wondering what they just did.
Yep, they forgot all about that 94 crime bill. Yep. Yeah, that is mind-boggling, because like I say, I was talking about them earlier. And I said, ain't shit, Joe, ain't did shit for us. And ain't gonna do shit.
Nope.
You know? So,
our concerns are so far at the bottom of the priority list that they're not really even on it.
Yep.
What we have to do is start acting accordingly and stop acting like, you know, that that's okay to basically put us on the pay no mind list.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been cool with being on it. And, you know, when every few years they come out, hey, come vote for me. I know it's been fucked up, you know, but I'm gonna fix it. And every one of them, including the black president, has told that fucking lie. And ain't shit changed. Okay, ain't nothing changed. Vote for me if you want to live. That should be their campaign. Cause, and then when they get in there, they forget about that shit because they already started campaigning again for the next 4 years. You know, and all this other shit. So they're not, none of our concerns ever make it up there. The gays got in there because the gays were willing to spend money with them.
Mm-hmm.
The gays was throwing fundraisers for them and putting them on and making sure the media was there to see it. And they had, Obama went in saying he was totally against same-sex marriage. He went in there a year before he changed his fucking mind publicly.
Yep. Money talk.
Okay. So, you know, it's not like they can't reverse themselves on some shit, but the one thing they never reverse themselves on is making sure they don't do a goddamn thing for us. That I'm
sure
about
that, right? Yep. That's always been the key. You can do for them, but don't do too much for them. You know,
right.
You got to make sure that you give them enough to get here, but don't give them enough to get up there. You know, and then the thing about it, what's really fearful to them is it don't matter how much or how little we have, we always manage to thrive. We always manage to survive, even with just a little bit, you know.
We didn't have a choice.
No doubt, you know, but we never fold, you know. And like most people most people under that pressure that we're under on a daily basis will jump out a window or put a bullet in their chest.
Yeah.
you know. So
yeah, they would have folded. I mean, it's a constant pressure to be given the bottom of everything and somehow still be emulated for what you do to get it. I mean, a plate of chitlins at Sylvia's is going to cost you about $30 or $40.
Hmm.
You know?
Right.
And I'm thinking this is the worst part of the pig outside of the anus. This is
right.
The road through the ass. But yeah,
that's
this
right.
is what you had to clean and eat.
All
and
time.
It creates what it leaves a whole bunch of health shit. You can wind up with issues with your brain if them fucking chitlins ain't clean, right? Because eating the shit of anything is tantamount to killing yourself.
Right on. Yep.
You
yep.
know?
And
so,
now it is
yeah.
looked at as a delicacy, and them people eat it more than we do now.
Yeah. Well, they like, you know, that's when they want to. You know, the liberals like to go to Harlem and go to Sylvia's and eat that shit so that way they feel like they more in touch, you know, with, you know, hey, I'm good with the niggas, you know. And
yeah,
I'm thinking,
like Hillary and the hot sauce.
None of you
heard.
Motherfuckers should be good with us until we're good with ourselves. Then we can worry about y'all being good with us. But up till then, nah. You know, wearing Kente cloth, I'm black. I don't own shit that's got Kente in it. Nothing.
Right.
But that shit doesn't identify me. I'm as a black
mm-hmm.
man, Kente cloth doesn't mean, you know, wearing that make me more, you know, anything. It's just there's some cloth that white folks will wear when they want to feel like they're trying to, you know, connect with you.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, just like they, you know, paraded in Hyde and Harris, you know, during the whole campaign. And now she more about her Pacific Island heritage than anything else. And they got her tucked away so deep back in the box now, hell, I done forgot about her ass.
Well, that's kind of how Obama had Joe. You know, that's kind of how Obama had Joe. That's the game, you know. But she's a mess anyway. And to be honest, I wouldn't be happy with her being president either. Actually, I don't really trust any of them, so it really don't matter to me who gets there because ain't none of them did a fucking thing to make the average person's life any better. They've helped the rich. They've helped the gays. They've helped businesses, they've helped foreigners, they've helped Israel, they've helped everyone. They have not done a goddamn thing for their citizens here. And that's what I'm, if nobody's paying attention to that, I am.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and then on
What's
top
your
of
brother?
That, you know, and then on top of that, they moving in these Ukrainians and the Afghans, so... You know, and we putting that bill. And just like with the lawsuits, you know, that, you know, I was talking about that earlier, too, and you brought it up as well. Even with that hush money, you know, that don't come out of no city or no police kitty or nothing like that. Hell, that money, that's taxpayer money. So we basically paying for they fuck-up.
Well, yeah, the way that works is the city pays you, and what they do is they basically get an insurance program going, the municipal bonds.
Mm-hmm.
And basically they go ahead and pay you, and they take out a loan with the city, with themselves, basically, that pays you off, and it gives them like 15 years to pay themselves back.
Right. Yep.
So they don't lose. They don't lose either way. They can afford to give you that $6.5 million. Hell, New York City kicked out over $300 million in like less than a couple of years, paying off all of the police lawsuits.
Hmm. Yep.
It's a lot
and
of dead
like,
bodies that got covered up. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Yeah. One.
what, can I break in for a second?
Yeah.
Hey, how y'all brothers doing? It's Brother Ozzy. Hey, Brother Kevin.
Yeah,
hey,
yeah.
Brother Mel.
Peace, peace.
I've been listening to the program, and one thing is that, you know, like you said earlier, Brother Melvin, about them basically having the police prosecute the police, and that never works. If we had actual real citizen programs that work, you know, specifically against the police interest, I think we would get more justice that way. But until they change the way that they do things, and we can't wait for them to change it because they're not. The people are going to have to be the one to change it. And until the people come together and we demand that, you know, we hold the police accountable, you know, nothing's going to change. We're going to continue to see these sort of things. As for, you know, the rest, you know, with, you know, the children being basically murdered by cops, you know, black men, women, and children, we have to recognize that these race soldiers, they work on opportunity, too. They wait until they see us by ourselves before they accost us. You know, and I think, you know, I can speak for myself, but I know that I'm pretty sure that a lot of black men have been out there, have been pulled over because they look like so-and-so. You know, that's usually their excuse that they use. And then when they pull you over, I smell weed coming from your car. And I don't even smoke weed. So I'm like, you know, I always laugh at them when they try that one. You know, I say, well, it must have been from your last stop, or maybe you were smoking it. Maybe it's coming from you. but it ain't coming from me, you know. So, you know, because I don't smoke. I don't even smoke cigarettes. So, you know, it's, you know, that's a no-go for me. When they, you know, ask to, you know, search your car, a lot of people don't realize that you can deny them the right to search your car. And if you want to go for it, you want to wait, all right, at that point, you got to call the supervisor. Call your supervisor. I want your supervisor. You know, then we can get on with the business. But a lot of people are too fearful to even push back a little bit on them. You know, so, you know, there's things you can do. Sometimes it'll work, sometimes it won't. The name of the game, I always told my children, the name of the game is to get home safe. So, you know, that's how we have to play it. Get home safely, and then we'll handle it from there. You know, worst come to worst, last resort. You know, if you got to pull that thing, be prepared to bang. that's how the song go. You know, but my thing is that, you know, if Tupac can do it, I can do it too. So,
all right.
You know, sometimes you know, we're allowed to be in fear for our lives too. And that happened recently.
Should I have fear for my life every fucking day? I'm black.
Yeah, and the brother in the Breonna Taylor case, you know, they had to let him go because he was shooting back in self-defense. You know,
right.
Whether he hit somebody or not, you know, when he pulled his gun out and started shooting, he didn't know who was in his girlfriend's house.
Right.
You know, shooting up the place. So, you know, they never announced themselves.
Right.
You know, but yet here and again, they got away with it. They got away with it. And people are crying over this, you know, Iranian woman talking about majority police or whatever, a morality police. They killed this girl in custody. I'm like, damn, that happens to us all the time over here. We don't get international attention over that.
Yeah.
And then I got to laugh when the United States is pressing Iran out over human rights abuses.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah,
but I was like, you got human rights abuses going on over here.
Yep. Nobody ever stresses America out about their human rights abuses. And the countries that do say something, like China and Russia and Iran and countries like that, when they say something, everybody yawns and keeps someone going.
Right.
Yeah. And you know, they've been saying something. China,
right.
Cuba, Russia, they've been
Venezuela,
talking
a bunch of countries. All the countries
United,
they want us to
meet. Yeah. Right. They've been talking trash about, oh, y'all got human abuse. Look how you all treat your black people over there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've been the only ones really speaking up on our behalf.
Right,
but you
know,
it's
only their name in the world, so that way nobody pays attention.
Right.
And when our plight stays our plight, and it ain't like none of them, you know, didn't know. That's why when they was asking all that silly shit about the queen, they couldn't understand why black people was like, you know, if she dies, she dies. You know,
right.
We don't see that bitch the same way y'all do.
Right.
Right.
No doubt.
Definitely that, man. So it's like the hypocrisy of America, that's what's going to be America's downfall. Because, you know,
totally.
they're so hypocritical when it comes to their own, you know, looking at themselves in the mirror, and they won't do it. And right now, you know, we have this the FBA rally that's going to be in D.C. On November the 5th. We're not only pushing for reparations, we're pushing for an anti-black hate bill that needs to be passed. It needs to be passed so that when these punk-ass cops kill us in these streets, if anybody kills us in the street, they're held accountable. You know, just like you want to pass this Asian hate crime, black people should have been had an anti-black hate crime on the books.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the thing is that the law ain't never did us no good here. Money is what
right.
changed shit. When you hit motherfuckers' pockets, the best way to stop police shootings in this country is very fucking simple. Make every fucking police officer have to carry $20 million in insurance. You shoot a motherfucker, that 6.5 come out of your shit.
That's right. That's right.
Okay.
Now you got to pay these families.
What you will get is less bullets.
$10 million.
Less bullets will be used, and they'll go back to what they did a lot more of back in the 70s, which was beat the shit out of you with their nightsticks, but you lived. You lived.
That's true.
Trying to call
yeah.
that ass whooping, but you lived. And if the motherfuckers knew that they're affecting their retirement money, then Klan or not, they're going to be less that boo, nigga. If I didn't want to live good when I get old, I'd shoot you right now, but you're going to jail. Okay? At least I live.
Right. Yep. True.
It's money. Keep going for the law. Let me tell you what you get with the law. What you get with the law is something wrote down that motherfuckers don't have to really like, and most of them ain't going to adhere to. They just showed us without the law how far they were willing to go and how long they were willing to do it. So I don't see that law stopping a lot. But I bet you if you hit their fucking pockets and the city don't back them no more and all of that other shit, take those elements out, these cops will be a lot less quick to touch their gun. A lot of them will be able to go their whole career without ever having pulled that motherfucker.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's a consequence. And they love their money. And that would definitely make a difference, you know.
I think the law would be good to be able to punish them. The law would be good to punish them with. Don't get me wrong. But I don't see that stopping. It's laws out there now. You know, these cops ain't out there. Cops don't know the law. Cops enforce some shit they don't even understand. Most of them are not required to know the law. That's why I'm like, they shouldn't be pulling me over for shit. If I know more about the law than them, I should be pulling them over.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But then how much can you really learn? You know, how much can you really learn about the law in what? 6 months or so that they go to training and shit, you know, you're not going
to
learn.
Exactly. They need to be made to take a straight-up course in laws in the state and municipality that they're going to be working in, And they need to be able to tell you with a quickness. Because most of the time, if you ask a cop, what law did I break? Show me the code that it is. They can't tell you.
Yep.
They can't tell you. So you got a bunch of people running around out there who really don't know the law, but yet they're law enforcement. That's the first part of the mind fuck right there.
Hmm. Right.
Yep.
A sheep herder cannot herd sheep if he don't know how to herd sheep.
Yep. True that.
America the fucked up.
Yeah, it ain't nothing great about it. It ain't nothing great about it. It's
look, to the IRS, it ain't MAGA, it's MATA. Make taxes great again. Okay. Dang. They want their money. That's all this is all it's gonna come down to anyway at the end of the day, is money. If we wanna change shit, then black people going to have to actually break bread. And that's the part I don't see happening. The gays did it, but they got real good credit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we not going to break no bread with them. I mean, we don't even break bread with each other.
Right. But even that comes with its risk because we've been taught inherently not to trust each other. And, hell, we quicker to trust them than we are each other. I mean, I watch a lot of brothers want to do shit. Hard to find some brothers to do it with. They wind up getting forced to go looking at them white banks to get the money because they can't get their own people to back them up.
Yeah.
And people talk about, what about the black banks? So the black banks ask you for the same paperwork that the white bank asks you for. And they in it for a business. Just because it's black owned don't mean they ain't trying to do the same thing the white bank do, which is make as much money off your money as they can before they have to give it back to you.
Yep. That's the name of the game. And why I too say it's important that we start recognizing our economic power and using each other as opposed to using these systems that are in place to keep us oppressed.
We got to stop mentally masturbating and start fucking this system. That of a year.
Yeah. Yep, that's true. That is true, too. And I got about 5 minutes. Been a good one. I kind of was on a rant tonight. I just got aggravated and agitated just thinking about all these situations that keep happening. And I don't know, I kind of got beside myself. I was talking like a brand new sail off the boat tonight. Yeah, sometimes I guess the passion just overflows, you know, and you just got to say it how I feel it. And this is the place to do it. At least they ain't do me like Facebook. They ain't clip my account here.
Heard that. Yeah.
But any of you, Kevin, Brother Ozzy, well, Brother Ozzy, you wanna say another closing word before I shut it down?
Hey man, I just want to say, you know, my brothers, keep watching your backs out here, and you know, I know everybody's mad at Kanye, but I want everybody to peep how that bank is playing censorship with him. So at some point it won't be Kanye. At some point it'll be one of us. And I'll leave it right there.
All right. I appreciate you calling in, brother. You have you a good night. I'll close by just saying, you know, I'm I'm passionate about my people. You know, I want to see us getting all that we deserve. And you know, I've said this several times. We deserve so much more than what we get. And we keep waiting on a system to save us that will, well, I'm going to say this. We keep waiting on a system to save us that can barely save itself right now. America is crashing and burning right before our eyes. And I'll just say this. I want us as black men and black women to stop taking each other for granted. And stop giving everybody else the benefit of the doubt and start giving the benefit of the doubt to one another. We all know what this system has done to us over the years, over the decades, over the centuries, and continues to do to us. And my question to us is just, you know, when is enough enough? You know, how many more of our young black men have to die? I was just scrolling through the 134 names, and do you know that there were ages from 12 to 54? So they don't discriminate in how they come for us. They don't discriminate on who. All their job is to do is get one of us. Make sure you get one of them. And they're doing that systematically. 134 black men. And that, to me, is bothersome, because any one of us could be a name on that list. Any one of us could become a name on that list by remaining silent, by remaining inactive, by not speaking out and speaking up for what's right, by not getting involved in your community, by leaving our children out to pasture. It's time that we corral our children's mind. Mentally is where it starts. And right now, this system has the mind of our children. And this system has them convinced that they're worthless, they're nobody, they're expendable. And it's evident by the way they operate within these inner cities and by how they are so violent with one another. And that is something that we have got to stop, and we've got to let our young black men know you are worthy. And with that being said, I'm going to close out. I want to thank Brother Ozzy for calling in and getting in on the discussion. I want to thank all the listeners that called in. Brother Kevin calling in, getting in on the discussion. Also, got another caller who's been listening. I want to thank you all. Thank you all, my overseas people for tuning in. My Boston Mass people who will get this episode on Friday. I appreciate you all for listening as well. You know, it's up to us to help us. It's up to us to change us. We're all we got. And with that being said, like I always say in closing, let's plan, let's organize, let's unify, because we all have a key. Until next week, this has been the Panther Party Radio Network. This has been The Big Picture with Melvin Siri Jr. I love y'all. Take care. Be safe. Peace, power, love. And I'm out.
Whoa, oh, mercy, mercy me. All things ain't what they used to be now. Where did all the blue skies go? Poison is the wind that blows from the north and south and east. Whoa, mercy, mercy me. All things ain't what they used to be now. Oil wasted on the oceans and upon our seas. fish full of mercury. Underground and in the sky, animals and birds who live nearby by the night. Oh, mercy, mercy, me. All things and what they used to be. What about this overcrowded land? How much more we use from man? Can't you stand?